This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Techniques to stay centered under verbal pressure. How to keep your thinking clear when someone is pushing every button you have. In short, staying centered under verbal pressure does not happen by accident. It happens because you have built specific habits in advance. Your body reacts to sharp words before your mind catches up, so you need physical tools, not just mental ones. A clear, practice sequence gives you something to reach for when your thinking narrows under pressure. Emotional control is not about feeling nothing. It is about choosing your response rather than surrendering it. Definition: emotional control techniques are deliberate, practiced methods for regulating your physiological and mental response during high-pressure verbal exchanges. They interrupt the automatic stress reaction, restore clear thinking, and let you respond with intention rather than reflex. I watched a project manager unravel in front of her whole team. A senior colleague challenged her numbers, his tone sharp and dismissive. She had the facts on her side. She knew it, but the pressure of his words hit her nervous system before her thinking could catch up, and she fired back fast and personal. The meeting ended badly. The relationship took months to repair. The tragedy was not that she got emotional. It was that she had no emotional control techniques ready when she needed them. Most people believe staying composed under verbal pressure is a matter of personality. Either you are the kind of person who stays calm, or you are not. That is not true. Composure is a practiced skill, and I say that after 6 decades of watching people learn it, lose it, and rebuild it. The ones who hold steady under pressure are not calmer by nature. They simply have better tools in their hands. What follows is a process you can build, not a philosophy, a real working method. Why verbal pressure breaks emotional control so quickly? The problem is not weakness. The problem is biology. When someone raises their voice, sharpens their tone, or attacks your competence, your nervous system registers a threat. It does not stop to check whether the threat is physical or social. It reacts. Your breathing shortens. Your thinking narrows. Your body prepares to fight or retreat. And it does all of this before you have consciously decided a single thing. This is why you can know exactly what you should say and still say the wrong thing. The amygdala response is well worth understanding in depth, because it explains why even experienced professionals lose their footing under verbal attack. The reaction is not a character flaw. It is a physiological event. The second layer of difficulty is that verbal pressure is often personal. It targets your judgment, your credibility, or your worth. That is a different category of stress from ordinary disagreement. A counter-argument you can handle. A direct attack on who you are reaches deeper and triggers a faster reaction. Understanding this does not solve the problem, but it does mean you stop blaming yourself for having a stress response and start building something practical instead. What needs to be in place before the pressure arrives? No technique works if you are reaching for it for the first time under fire. This is the part most people skip. Two things must be in place before you enter any conversation that carries risk. First, you need a physical anchor, something you have already practiced in calm moments until it feels natural. This might be a specific way of breathing, the feeling of your feet flat on the floor, or your hand resting still on a surface. The anchor does not need to be visible to anyone else. It just needs to be practiced enough that your body reaches for it automatically when pressure arrives. Second, you need to have already named your triggers, not in an abstract way. Specifically, what words, tones, or subjects reliably pull you off center. I've found that people who know their triggers can feel one coming before it lands, which gives them a fraction more time. That fraction is everything. Understanding how emotional intelligence functions in high-stakes conversations is worth your time before you attempt to regulate under real pressure. A clear process for staying centered when it counts. Here is the sequence I have seen work, in the order it works. Do not reorder it. Each step makes the next one possible. Number 1. Anchor your body before you manage your mind. The moment you feel pressure rising, your first move is physical, not verbal. Press your feet deliberately into the floor. Breathe out slowly, longer than you breathe in. Rest your hands still rather than letting them gesture. You are telling your nervous system that no emergency is happening. Your thoughts cannot do this for you. Only your body can. Do this before you say a single word. Number 2. Buy 3 seconds with silence. Do not fill the silence out of discomfort. After the pressure lands, pause. 3 full seconds. This is not passivity. it is a direct interruption of the automatic stress cycle. In those 3 seconds, your breathing can slow, your thinking can widen, and you can choose rather than react. If 3 seconds feels impossible to hold, a practical bridge phrase helps. Let me think about that for a moment. Say it calmly, then take the time. Number 3. Name the pressure internally, not out loud. Before you respond, label what you are experiencing. Not to anyone else, just to yourself. This is pressure. I am feeling reactive. I am not in danger. This is one of the most reliable emotional control techniques available. And it works because naming an internal state reduces its intensity. It moves the experience from your nervous system into your thinking brain, which is exactly where you need it. Number 4. Separate the content from the delivery. Verbal pressure almost always mixes a legitimate point with an aggressive tone. Your job is to pull those two things apart. Ask yourself, is there something real being said here, beneath the way it is being said? This matters because if you respond only to the tone, you miss the content. If you respond only to the content, you ignore dynamics that will resurface later. You need both. Say something like, I want to make sure I understand what you are actually raising here. That sentence shifts the conversation from attack and defense to the real issue. Number 5. Control your tone before your words. The words you choose matter far less than how they sound. Under pressure, most people's voices tighten, speed up, or rise in pitch. All of these signals tell that other person that their pressure is working, which usually invites more of it. Slow your speech deliberately. Drop your volume slightly rather than matching theirs. A calm, measured tone is not a sign of weakness. It is one of the strongest signals you can send in a pressured exchange. Number 6. Redirect to the problem, not the person. Once you are grounded, move the conversation forward, not by winning the moment, but by pointing toward resolution. A useful frame here. Here's what I think we are actually trying to solve together. This does not concede to your position. It refuses to let the exchange stay personal when it can become productive. If the other person stays aggressive, you can name it plainly. I want to have this conversation, and I find it harder when the tone is this sharp. Can we bring it down a level? Number 7. Know when to pause the conversation entirely. Sometimes the right move is to stop, not retreat. Stop. I want to come back to this when we are both in a better place to think it through. This requires courage, because it can feel like losing. It is not. Knowing how to de-escalate without destroying the working relationship is a separate and equally important skill, but it begins with knowing when the current moment cannot be resolved well. When the pressure is sustained, not sudden. The steps above work well for a sharp verbal challenge, but some people face sustained pressure: a manager who criticizes across weeks, a client who escalates on every call, a colleague whose hostility is a pattern rather than an incident. Sustained pressure creates a different problem. You start anticipating the attack before it arrives, which means your stress response is already active when the conversation begins. You go in reactive rather than grounded. The repair for this is a pre-conversation ritual, practiced before you enter the room or join the call. 3 slow breaths. A deliberate physical anchor. One sentence said to yourself, I can stay clear in this. Not as a wish, as a preparation. Psychological safety, and what it does for honest communication under stress, is worth examining if you're in an environment where sustained pressure is the norm rather than the exception. In sustained pressure environments, you also need to debrief yourself after each exchange. What held? What did not? What would you do differently? This is not rumination. It is deliberate practice. You're building the skill between the hard moments, not just during them. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong attempting this. 3 failures come up again and again. I have made all of them myself. The mistake: trying to control emotion by controlling thought. Why it happens: we assume thinking clearly will calm the body. It usually works the other way. What to do instead? Start with the physical anchor every time. Body first, then thought. The mistake: treating silence as weakness and rushing to fill it. Why it happens: silence under pressure feels like losing ground. What to do instead? Claim the pause deliberately. Frame it aloud if needed. Give me a moment, then use it. The mistake: Matching the other person's emotional intensity. Why it happens. It feels honest, even righteous, to respond in kind. What to do instead? Drop your volume and slow your pace when theirs rises. You are not performing calm. You are building it. Using a structured framework where feedback or criticism triggers a defensive reaction can also help you extend these skills into conversations where the pressure is more subtle. And if you want to understand the emotional intelligence layer beneath all of this more deeply, emotional intelligence in feedback conversations builds the foundation well. Your pre-conversation readiness check. Use this before any conversation you know carries risk. It takes under 2 minutes. Number 1. Have you identified the specific trigger most likely to land in this exchange? Name it to yourself. Number 2. Have you chosen your physical anchor? The grounding action you will reach for first. Number 3. Have you rehearsed the pause? Know in advance that you will take 3 seconds before responding to anything sap. Number 4. Do you have a bridge phrase ready? Something like let me think about that, or I want to make sure I understand you. Number 5. Do you know what a good outcome for this conversation actually looks like? Name it. This gives you something to orient toward rather than just defending against attack. Number 6. Have you done 3 slow breaths in the last 60 seconds? If you can answer yes to all 6, you are prepared. Not protected from pressure. Prepare to meet it with something solid. The ground holds when you've built it in advance. Here is the truth of it. No one stays centered under verbal pressure through willpower alone. Willpower runs out fast under stress. What holds is practice. The kind you do before the hard moment arrives. In the small ordinary moments when no one is pushing on you. The oak does not resist the storm by deciding to. It holds because the roots go deep before the wind comes. Start with the anchor. Add the pause. Practice naming your internal state when nothing is at stake. Do it enough times that your body knows what to reach for. Then, when the pressure hits and someone is sharp and the room is tense, your emotional control techniques will be there, ready to hold you steady. That is what you deserve to carry into those moments, and it is absolutely within your reach to build. Frequently asked questions. What for emotional control techniques in conflict? Emotional control techniques are specific practices that help you regulate your physiological and mental response when a conversation turns hostile or pressured. They include breathing methods, grounding anchors, and deliberate pausing. Use consistently. They keep your thinking clear when someone is pushing hard against you. Why is emotional control so hard under verbal pressure? Verbal pressure triggers a stress response that narrows your thinking and speeds up your reactions. Your body treats sharp words as a physical threat. Before you decide anything, your nervous system has already reacted. Emotional control techniques work by slowing the reaction down so your thinking can catch up. How do you stay calm when someone is shouting at you? The most reliable approach is to ground your body first before trying to manage your thoughts. Slow your breathing, press your feet to the floor, and let 3 full seconds pass before you speak. This interrupts the automatic stress response and gives you back the choice of how to respond. Can emotional control techniques work in real-time conflict? Yes, but only if you have practiced them before the conflict starts. Techniques you learn in a calm moment become automatic under pressure through repetition. The goal is to make grounding and pausing feel natural, so when verbal pressure hits, your body reaches for the tool without you having to think about it. What is the difference between suppressing emotion and controlling it? Suppression means pushing the feeling down and pretending it is not there. Emotional control means you feel the pressure fully, but choose your response rather than letting the feeling choose it for you. Suppression tends to break down at the worst moments. Genuine control is built through practice and becomes more reliable over time. How long does it take to build real emotional control under pressure? Most people notice a meaningful shift within 4 to 6 weeks of consistent daily practice. The key is rehearsing your grounding anchor and pause techniques when you're calm, not waiting for a conflict to test them. Small, repeated practice builds the neural pathway that holds under real pressure. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.